Coming up on today's program, Carousel Rides, Girl Treks, and an NPR quiz show comes to town. I'm Jerry Kenney. This is Why So Weekend. As always, thanks for sharing your weekend with WISO. Coming up in just a few minutes, we've got WISO Membership Director Jackie Winfrey waiting in the wings. And later in the program today from the Ohio Newsroom, we'll take a trip to the Ohio State Fair. Up first, this week on the season finale of We Outside, producer Trey Grace takes a walk with Girl Trek, a nonprofit that has turned one of life's simplest acts into a powerful movement.
Girl Trek is a global movement that uses walking to support Black women's health, healing, and connection. I drove to Columbus on a warm and windy spring morning to join them for their Sisterhood Saturday walk, and I spoke with Columbus crew leader Renee Smith.
Black women suffer disproportionately from things like high blood pressure, diabetes, things that are obesity related. Our impact has proven that a lot of people have lost weight, have reduced their incidence of depression. So we use walking as a tool. And we gather as a sisterhood on Saturdays to support and encourage one another and hold each other accountable.
And you can feel that sisterhood right away, women showing up for themselves and each other. I spoke to Tessie Johnson, longtime Girl Trekker.
We're walking and people are slowing down and people are speeding up and everybody's making sure nobody's alone. Sometimes you need that walk by yourself, but sometimes you need to know that there are people who are not going to leave you to remind you, hey, you have community. Sometimes you just have to lean on it.
There's the intention of reaching health goals behind the movement, but it's also about feeling good. And Renee puts it this way.
It feels like a warm hug. You know, at Girl Trek, we are pursuing joy.
Now?
Yes. A lot of people live in isolation. And so when we come together on Saturdays, I can best say that most people in the group say they look forward to Saturdays.
And Girl Trek is growing.
They had a goal of growing membership to over 1 million people. It was highly thought that we could not reach that goal, but guess what? We've not only reached that goal, but we've exceeded it. Because Girl Trek now has a membership of 1,300,000 women, nationally and internationally, and continuing to grow. The capstone goal of Girl Trek is to increase the life expectancy of Black women by 10 years in 10 years. And we're doing this through walking weekly as a group and encouraging all of our women to walk a minimum of 30 minutes 5 days a week.
Amazing goals. And for me, this wasn't just a visit. I came here to learn because we officially started a Girl Trek crew here in Dayton. So I asked Renee for some advice on getting started with our Dayton area crew.
I would say just get started. Even if you have two people who come out to Sisterhood Saturday walks, don't get discouraged. The chemistry of the group will make for automatic growth.
And that's the invitation. You don't have to wait for the perfect group to begin. You can start with a walk by yourself, with a friend, or a crew. Just start walking. I'll see you out there. For WYSO, I'm Trey Grace, and we outside.
You can download the Girl Trek app to learn more and to find local walks. You can listen to every episode of We Outside anytime at WYSO.org. The series is made possible with support from Five Rivers Metro Parks and is produced right here at the Eichelberger Center for Community Voices at WYSO. Thank you. You're listening to WISO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO. And I say this every week, but it is always a pleasure to have someone in studio to talk to.
Ooh.
And today it is WYSO's Jackie Winfrey.
Hello.
I
am the director of membership here at the station. So you probably hear my voice a lot during our membership drives.
That's right. And on various promos throughout the year. So thank you, Jackie, for all that you do. And we're here together today to talk about a really great event that WISO has coming up.
Yeah. So there's a really fun live show coming to town on September 3rd. Wait, don't tell me. It's coming back to the Dayton area. They haven't been here since 2017. So it's been 9 years since the Wait crew was here. 9 years since you've had the best chance you'll have to see Wait live in person at Rose Music Center.
So I was happy to be a part of that last audience, and it really is something special.
It is. Seeing the show live and seeing them make it live is really fun. One of the things I learned when they came through live in 2017, because I had never seen it in person before either, was how much extra stuff they have to cut from the show just for time. Because when you go and see the show in person, it's over an hour, probably closer to 90 minutes. So they're cutting out like 40 minutes worth of jokes and banter between the hosts and the panelists and sometimes the celebrity guests. Like, they're cutting a lot of jokes on the floor to make sure the show fits it within the broadcast time. So when you come to this show at Rose Music Center, you'll be getting basically two shows worth of jokes for the price of your ticket.
That's right. So it's cut for time. The content mm-hmm. is still amazing and always funny.
Oh, yeah. So you listen to the show every Saturday morning on WISO. So you can just imagine, like, what doesn't make the cut to that final version. When you come to the Rose Music Center, you'll be able to see all of that and more. The other thing I really enjoyed was because they're making this show 2 days before broadcast, they have to do a lot of the fixing of stuff live in person as well. So you get to see the host, Peter Sagal. Like, sometimes he's human, he flubs up a line. So he will have to re-record it while they're there doing the show. And so it's really cool to see him, like, rapid fire, like, rereading some lines that they flagged that he needs to fix for the final version of the show. So it's really cool to see a professional like that do that sort of thing in person.
Yeah, a lot of great behind the scenes stuff. And so they'll have their, I'm going to put you on the spot. Maybe you don't know. There's a regular panel, and usually they mm-hmm. have a surprise guest or a special guest for some of the tapings. Do we know any of that information yet?
We don't yet. So it's still a mystery to us as well, but we do know it's always a panel of three comedians. And if you're a regular listener to the show, you know a lot of their regular guests. Chances are it's probably going to be at least one of them, if not two. But you'll always get the announcer, Alto Slade, plus Peter Sagal.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Paula Poundstone, so.
oh, me too.
Yeah, I got to talk to her once, so it's great. Hope to see her again, and the show is really something special. Again, we've been talking about Wait, Don't Tell Me, this special event, live event that is coming back to Dayton. Give us a few more details.
Oh, sure. So as a reminder, the show is going to be Thursday, September 3rd. It's at 7:30 p.m. at Rose Music Center. And the last thing I will say that you get when you go in person that you just don't get when you're listening on Saturday mornings is the communal experience. And because it's going to be at the Rose Music Center, you're going to be with 4,000 other WISO and Wait, Don't Tell Me fans laughing and having a great time. So really, this is your best bet to see one of your favorite shows live in person. And also, you'll get to hear the jokes 2 days before everyone else.
That's great. And Rose Music Center, that's going to change the whole experience even from the last visit.
Oh, yeah. Because I think the last time they came through, it was at the Schuster Center, which is about 2,400. So there's going to be almost twice that amount at Rose Music Center. And when you've got 4,000 plus people there, everyone's there laughing and having a great time. It's a really wonderful
and a one-of-a-kind experience because even if you've seen Wait Wait Live before, no two shows are the same, so it's going to be a brand new experience, even if you've done it one time before.
So more people will get to see it, but there's mm-hmm. no reason to wait on picking up the tickets. Oh, how can we do that?
You do not have to wait to get your tickets. And actually, we've got a couple of different options. So you can get single tickets and general admission tickets if you go to nprpresents.org. That's nprpresents.org. You'll see the show listed there towards the top of the page. That's to get just regular general audience tickets for anywhere in the venue. But we also still have some VIP tickets available if you want to donate directly to WYSO. And the nice thing about the VIP tickets is you get guaranteed seating in the pit section, which is very close to the stage. And you will get to go to an after party after the show where you can meet and say hi to all of that evening's panelists and the host, Peter Sagal.
Well worth a night out, a great night out in Dayton. Jackie, anything else?
No, that's it. So you can learn more about the show and you can see the links to both regular tickets or VIP tickets if you go to wyso.org. So that's where you can get all your information if you go to wyso.org. Or if you want to go directly to get your general admission tickets, just go to nprpresents.org.
WYSO Director of Membership Jackie Winfrey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Jerry, and thank you to all of you out there.
Up next on WYSO Weekend, it's Today from the Ohio Newsroom.
Today from the Ohio Newsroom, a spin on Ohio's newest merry-go-round.
Support comes from Ohio CASA. Ohio CASA's mission is to ensure children experiencing abuse and neglect have a caring, trained adult in their corner. Information about CASA volunteer work is at ohiocasa.org.
I'm Kendall Crawford. The Ohio State Fair opened on Wednesday with a new glittering crown jewel, a custom-carved, Ohio-made carousel celebrating wildlife and notable landmarks from all over the state. Ali Vergrinzik from Ohio Newsroom member station WOSU reports from the fairgrounds.
Will you choose the rooster, the bobcat? How about the prize-winning pig? Or you could go for a classic horse. There's not really a wrong choice. Every animal on the new Ohio State Fair Children's Carousel is beautifully carved and painted. Their brightly colored saddles and bridles are dotted with surprising little details like flowers and Ohio insignias. Every creature has a unique expression and its own personality. It's hard to pick a favorite.
Mine is the llama. That is by far my favorite animal. But it's kind of hard. It's like picking children, you know?
That's Vanita Keeman-Goings. The Goings family owns Carousels and Carvings, the Marion company that built the new carousel. Keeman-Goings and her husband, Kyle Goings, were on the ride's inaugural spin. They sat in the Woodlands Creature Chariot, an unpainted wheelchair-accessible stall. Raccoons, dragonflies, frogs, and birds peek out from the carved leaf canopy that makes up the bench's back and sides.
We are going to paint it next year, but we think people won't let us because they all really enjoy that it is in bare wood at the moment.
While Governor Mike DeWine declined to give a precise cost for the carousel, the new attraction is part of around $460 million in updates and improvements to the state fairgrounds that began in 2023. Each of the more than two dozen animals on the ride took somewhere between 400 and 600 hours to carve, paint, and varnish. Still, the Carousels and Carvings team got it done in about 2 years. The ride's first official whirl happened last Saturday, 155 years to the day since the very first patent for a carousel was filed. After the All-Ohio State Fair Youth Choir performed, Governor DeWine and First Lady Fran highlighted some of the carousel's features. The state bird of Ohio, the cardinal, appears not once, but twice, as Fran DeWine explains.
What I insisted on is you can't just have a male cardinal. We have a female cardinal, too.
Ohioans can find most of the carousel's animals at the fair or in the state's forests and rivers. Others, not so much. One pale off-white bovine stands out among the ride's more colorful critters. It's a wooden rendition of the fair's famous butter cow. And then there's Dunk, or Dunkelosteus terrelli, the state's official fish fossil.
Some people said it's too ferocious looking for kids. Well, my kids think it's great.
Murals on the carousel's upper rounding board and inner panels depict Ohio scenes and famous places.
You'll see a picture of the state fair many, many years ago. The Wright brothers flying over Huffman Prairie, where they're in Greene County.
Also included are Hocking Hill State Park, Marblehead Lighthouse on Lake Erie, and Columbus's Palace Theater. The names of every county appear on the inside of the ride.
Look, this is really a love letter to Ohio. This is, when people walk up, they're going to find something that they recognize.
This carousel is expected to delight Ohioans young and old for decades, maybe centuries. Kyle Goings says carousels are often a person's first ride. They're put on that horse, or bison or box turtle, by their parents. Years later, the same people put their children or grandchildren on for another ride.
So I think it's that generational connection through the years of riding a carousel that's unique.
They're moving works of art that people can get up close and personal with. They transport you to a world of lights, colors, music, motion. And after that voyage, they bring you right back around to where you began. For the Ohio Newsroom, I'm Allie DeGrinsick in Columbus.
That's all today from the Ohio Newsroom. We'll talk with you on Monday.
This is WISO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO, community-owned public radio for curious listeners. Well, demolition of the Omer Garage in downtown Dayton is underway. The garage was described as, quote, slowly falling into the back of the Victoria Theater, end quote. Add to that substantial damage to the historic theater from trapped water. I spoke with Dayton Live president and CEO Gabriel Van Alst about the threat and how removal of the garage could lead to the growth of Dayton Live's downtown campus.
So the short version of the story is especially the stage area and the dressing rooms, which are below the stage in the Victoria Theatre, were seeing significant damage from water damage, which was coming because the building, when it would rain, because the building is leaning into the Victoria, water would get trapped between the garage and our building, and it has nowhere to go, and the only place for it to go is into the Victoria Theatre. So we are currently actually in a $20 million capital campaign totally unrelated to, well, not totally unrelated as you're about to hear, unrelated to this project, where we wanted to invest $20 million into maintaining and restoring the properties that Dayton Live owns and manages, which is the Schuster Center, the Arts Garage, the Arts Annex, and of course the Victoria Theatre, as well as the Metropolitan Arts Center, the MAC building next to us. And as part of that campaign, we actually redid all the dressing rooms a couple of years ago as one of the earliest pieces of that campaign's work to restore our buildings, which was offsetting a lot of this damage. Even so, we're already seeing that encroach again. And it's very unscientific, but there are boards at the back of the stage that you can unscrew, and we have a pretty substantial moisture remediation system back there. If you imagine those bags that you put in your basement, the crystals that collect the moisture and then you replace them, it's a very sophisticated version of that, but also probably exactly that. And we have to do that regularly just to offset the potential of more damage happening that we don't, having just reinvested into those dressing rooms and the stage on the Victoria, we don't have to do it again in another couple of years. So we have been mitigating. We saw a large amount of damage and we've been mitigating against that since we repaired it. You know, where we are at now, whilst it's not an ideal situation, feels like the best outcome as we all see it.
It looks like next steps are to be determined, but what is the footprint of that garage, if you know? And there are other buildings along that stretch, correct?
I don't have the details at the top of my head, but essentially the prior owner owned the garage. There is a sort of what appears to be a house. It used to be a bookstore, music store. And then there is a warehouse on the corner of Jefferson and First that is connected to a mid-century extension, essentially. The prior owner owned all three properties. They have all three been donated to the land bank, with Dayton Live being the eventual recipients after this remediation work is done. As a not-for-profit, we don't have endless resources to spare. So whilst we have some concepts of a plan, to paraphrase someone else, we didn't want to invest in a full campus master plan until there was a chain of title that was secure for us. So that has all just come into play. So over the coming year or so, we expect to start to develop a full campus master plan for activation of all those sites. And we look forward to community participation in those plans. And we're going to do a proper study. You know, once you start looking at the square footage that we're talking about, we all wake up in the night and think, you know, it'd be great to put a deck on the back of my house. This is a more substantial version of that. And we want to do it right. And we want to understand what the community needs are and respond to those needs. And I think Dayton Live in particular has such a strong history of serving the community. Each year, you know, about 500,000 people come onto our campus in downtown Dayton. And we look forward to expanding that impact. Nothing to share right now, but if you look at our history of investing in our properties in downtown and investing in activity that supports not just our own strengths, but the strengths of our resident companies and the economic impact of downtown, we look forward to continuing that journey over the coming years. But, you know, to set expectations, this is not a 1 to 2 year journey. I keep talking internally, this is a 10-year journey because we want to get it right.
Gabriel Van Alst is president and CEO of Dayton Live. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you for having me.
The Oxford Free Press in Butler County is marking its second year of local news gathering. The paper's co-founder is Richard Campbell. He's also professor emeritus from the Department of Media, Journalism, and Film at Miami University. Campbell told WISO's Mike Frazier how the death of one newspaper led to the birth of another.
In January of 2024, Cox Media shut down the old Oxford Press, which had been around since 1936. And after that happened, two colleagues of mine, John Skillings and Jim Rubenstein, got together. We cared about local news. We felt like Oxford was a place that would support it and already missed it. And we decided to start a newspaper. So we came up with the Oxford Free Press.
Now, this is a physical paper, right? Not just digital?
Right. We launched digitally first a couple weeks before our print edition came out on Fridays. But yes, we're a print edition on Fridays. And it's interesting that about 80 to 85% of new launches for newspapers are digital only. So it's rare that we're supporting a print paper.
In this day and age, newspapers are folding or dramatically cutting back or going all digital. You seem to be bucking this trend. Why do you think you're being successful at this point in that area?
Probably because of our large retirement community and the university. One of our co-founders, Jim Rubenstein, likes to say this is a print town. So the business community was actually looking for a print venue for advertising because there was no place to do print advertising in the area. So that was another reason. And, you know, I think we think of our base as an older population. They've been very, very supportive. And people like me and our retirement community like a print paper. We know that in the long run, you know, we're going to have to go all digital. But as I like to say, I hope not in my lifetime.
What's your circulation right now, your print circulation?
We print 1,900 copies. And our biggest pickup point is actually Kroger in town. So we have about 400 to 500 papers get picked up free at Kroger every week.
And it's a weekly publication?
Yes.
It's really impressive that a small town newspaper is doing so well and just 2 years out of the gate. In fact, you've won Newspaper of the Year from, well, tell us about that distinction.
We won Newspaper of the Year award from the Ohio News Media Association, and we picked that award up in Columbus toward the end of March. And we won some other awards for, I think, in-depth reporting. We have a great designer, Macy Chamberlain, who won a number of awards for her design or newspaper design, advertising design, special issue design, I think. And I actually won an award as the best columnist. So that was quite a surprise.
Well, congratulations. What was the column about?
I do a column called Media Matters. So my field is studying media and culture. And so I write on media issues. And I'm particularly interested in writing about the loss of local news. That's something that I'm passionate about. And we know that there are more than half the counties in the United States now have little or no access to any kind of local news. That's how severe the problem is.
But again, you're bucking that trend, and that's just really impressive.
The three founders and I sometimes look at each other and said that we've really done this. We really have created a successful paper and have kept it going for 2 years, and we know we can do it for another year. I like to remind people that the press is the only institution, organization, business that's mentioned in our Constitution. I mean, that's how much our founders thought it was important. In 2002, for every 100,000 people, there were 40 reporters. Today, for every 100,000 people, there are fewer than 8 reporters. That's a loss of 75% of reporters in the last 25 years. It's scary. So I think we need to do something. And I like to tell this to people. There are studies now showing that towns that have local news and it's healthy have a lot less polarization, which is one of the problems of our time. I think local news, particularly in small town, is kind of a glue that holds a community together. You know, it gives them a base of support. I know the longer we do this, the more smiles and nods I get when I go to Kroger and have my Oxford Free Press cap on. This is something that our community wants and that we provide, and I think it's a model for how you can do this.
That was Richard Campbell, co-founder of the Oxford Free Press and professor emeritus from the Department of Media, Journalism, and Film at Miami University, speaking with WISO's Mike Frazier. Up next, Bird Note puts a wrap on the program.
This is Bird Note. Some birds have always called nocturnally, such as nightjars, mockingbirds, and owls. But other species are relative newcomers to the nighttime music scene, especially in urban areas. In cities in the U.S., some American robins put on a show long before sunrise. Researchers are studying why certain songbirds sing nocturnally in cities. Some studies suggest that artificial lighting from street lamps and buildings could lead birds to treat the night like the day. However, some experiments with artificial lights showed no effect on singing behavior. For some birds, it seems that noise is an important factor. A study in the United Kingdom found that European robins in noisier environments tend to sing at night. The finding suggests that these robins experience nighttime as the best time to have their voice heard by potential mates and rivals, after the day's hustle and bustle. Whatever the cause, birds singing at night are one more thing, like rumbling trains and passing cars, that city dwellers learn to sleep through. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. Did you know you can listen to Bird Note in your podcast app? Subscribe to Bird Note Daily and never miss an episode.
And that'll close out WISO Weekend for this weekend. Join us again next week. We'll bring you more highlights, conversations, and features. Our theme music is Another Beautiful Day in Paradise by Magnolia Bolthead. I'm Jerry Kenny. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next weekend.